88DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. NTSB investigators are getting out their microscopes after a school teacher near Portland, Oregon, found a plug from the door that blew off an Alaska Airlines plane just after takeoff Friday night. Board Chair Jennifer Homendy.
I can just see the outside of the door plug from the pictures. We can't see anything else. But we're going to go pick that up and make sure that we begin analyzing it.
Amazingly, no one was injured, but the door blew off with so much force it ripped open the fortified cockpit door. The Pentagon has released new details about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospitalization. Correspondent Cammie McCormick on a nearly week-long mystery.
Austin's medical procedure was on December 22nd, but he was readmitted to the hospital on January 1st after experiencing severe pain. Officials say he was in ICU for days due to medical needs and privacy concerns, and the delay in notifying the White House was partly due to his chief of staff being ill. Lawmakers want a more complete explanation for why they were kept in the dark. Austin is still hospitalized, but said to be performing his duties.
Congressional leaders have agreed on a spending deal to try and avoid a partial government shutdown this month. But UVA political analyst Larry Sabato isn't betting on full approval.
There are so many ways for this to fall apart. They've only really agreed on the overall number, which they'd actually agreed on last spring.
Well over a foot of snow fell in parts of the Northeast during the first big storm of the season. Karen Sullivan in Haverhill, Massachusetts is digging out from under 18 inches.
I was really enjoying this winter that wasn't. Don't like this at all.
Another storm is moving from the southwest to the northeast, bringing almost every weather threat possible. A first at the Golden Globe Awards on CBS. Killers of the Flower Moon's Lily Gladstone is now the only indigenous actor to ever win. The movie to beat at the Oscars could be the one about the atomic bomb.
Oppenheimer dominated the Golden Globes, winning 5 awards, including Best Drama, Best Actor for Cillian Murphy, Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr., Best Score, and Best Director for Christopher Nolan.
We bring people together and we try and get them to give us their best.
CBS's Danya Bakis reporting. A woman in L.A. County was rescued 4 days after she swerved to avoid a deer and plunged 100 feet down an embankment off a road leading to Mount Baldy. Fire Department Captain Ian Thrall.
No one saw her go over the side. No evidence of tire tracks or anything on the road or on the side of the road. She was very lucky that some hiker happened to come by and hear her.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with ReFlow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Chicago Bears 17-9 at Lambeau Field and punched their ticket to the playoffs. Green Bay heads to Dallas this week to face head coach Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Is there any question now that Jordan Love is the legit replacement for Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I don't think there's many questions left, to be honest with you. He's just got to continue to do what he's been doing. I think great things are in store for him.
Packers receiver receiver Dontavian Wicks with 6 catches for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns on how Jordan Love has improved.
It was early in the season. We didn't have that chemistry, like I said. So he just had to get that feeling. The last couple weeks, you know, he'd been on his A game.
Bears have now lost to the Packers 10 times in a row. Quarterback Justin Fields on the Bears 7-10 season.
Of course, it was a lot of ups and downs. You know, I grew a lot, learned a lot this year, and, you know, I think it's going to do nothing but help me in the future.
That's Bears quarterback Justin Fields with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We have some snow on the way starting late this afternoon into this evening and continuing through tomorrow into tomorrow night. About 2 to 4 inches of accumulation possible by the time it wraps up, with wind, especially tomorrow night, creating areas of blowing snow. Today, cloudy, snow developing late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Not just Pat Breitloh, but Greg Bach down in Waukesha, Selena Heller from Up North News joining us from Eau Claire. And if I hit this button just right, joining us for the first time over this little video connection is meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Well, we're great. So nice to see you. We've look how we've grown as a show, Greg. We're not doing telephone forecasts anymore. We got the real deal.
We're like adults or something. I don't know.
Little victories, exactly. Yeah. How are you? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. I spent it forecasting this darn storm that just keeps wobbling. The word you used last week.
Wobble. I know. Well, to me, that was always the Selena and I worked with a couple of colorful meteorologists at TV13 back in the day. And wobble was kind of their catch-all, like, you know, I might be wrong. If so, I'll blame it on the wobble. So I feel like we've put extra pressure on you that we didn't mean to. But
it's OK.
I'm sorry, Selena, go ahead.
She can use wobble. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. So where are we wobbling toward at the moment from the way you're seeing it?
Well, you can blame me. That's fine. I've been wanting a snowstorm in the worst way. The snow drought is not making a lot of people happy. So we need it. The state does need it. You know, we're coming off of the summer drought, the winter drought, of course. We need the snowpack there for us, especially for the farmers and things like that, and the winter weather enthusiasts. So we've got the storm pulling north. That happened as of yesterday. The track kept going south. All of a sudden, a couple model runs pulled it north. And before you know it, all the other model runs started lining up. And now Wisconsin is back in the center target for it all. So winter storm warnings are out there and in effect, of course, La Crosse, Richland Center, Stevens Point, Madison, the Dells, Milwaukee, Fox Valley, Green Bay. We're all just expect 5 to 8 inches.
Expect 5 to 8 inches.
Just go all for right. that. Some of you will get more. Some of you will get less. But a good 5 to 8 inches is definitely hitting a good chunk of the state.
So that whole basically La Crosse to not so much Wisconsin Rapids to Green Bay. That was the area that could have gotten maybe 2 or 3 and now is in line for 4+.
Absolutely. Isn't that wild? Mother Nature. She's got a joy. Temperament.
Now, yes. we were aware she's got a reputation. And then for those of us in the northwest part of the state, again, some of us could be far enough north that we're just going to see some flurry activity.
Absolutely. I mean, up towards the north by Lake Superior, you're not going to see too much. Maybe some lake effect snow whipping off of that with the winds, because the winds are going to be up to 40 miles per hour. Ooh. So, yeah, this is going to be a vicious one with lake effect, blowing and drifting snow. So the plows are going to be out constantly. Our heaviest accumulation hours are going to be from about 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Heavy accumulation. We could even hear thunder snow.
Ooh. It's the best band name ever. It's the best.
So just a, not a good day to be commuting. If you don't have to hit the road, don't.
That's,
work
from so home, that's tomorrow?
Do it. Yes, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Pat, I'm commuting. I'm working from home tomorrow.
You are working from home tomorrow, aren't you?
No, I'll be here tomorrow.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you were taking a break here at some point.
I leave Wednesday. So that was the question I had for the great meteorologist here. I fly out on Wednesday. Should things be cleared up at least for travel by then? Or am I going to be sitting at Mitchell going, I should have bought the insurance on the flight?
You should be all right. You
okay, cool. Fine. Cool. No, yeah. I'll be here. Don't worry, Pat. I'll be here tomorrow.
I worry. I'll be a worrier. Because then once you're gone, I probably were subjected to Mathers again. And
the capable, handsome,
yes, your boss. Yes, yes. Can we get past the storm for a second? Because we know what often happens is on the backside of that storm, a bunch of cold Arctic air moves in. Is that part of the plan for this one as well?
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, you betcha. That's great. And that part, nobody's unscathed from that. When that air starts to move in, we're all going to feel it at the end of the week here.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking temperatures with highs in just the teens, lows dropping to near zero, and it's going to get even colder than that. So those lakes freezing up, people want that. But it's going to be cold. Yep, find those winter jackets.
Fish.
where I am on Lake Wissota, and I'm at this little, where the Chippewa River kind of opens up and becomes Lake Wissota. So it's all either open or extremely thin ice, but you could go, apparently, I know this because I'm looking out the window, you can go maybe 20 feet from shore and walk on the ice. You should not. And I'm only telling you that because there are people walking out there with augers. I saw them yesterday during the Packer game. Oh. And it was all I could do not to open the door and just shout, get off of there.
Don't you tell me I'm an American. I get to fish wherever I want.
Yeah, that thin ice, that's fake news.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's going to get colder so that eventually the ice will be safe.
Yeah, the only bad thing, though, is that the snow's coming first, and that usually insulates the water and the ice and things like that. So we'll see how it all goes, but we're getting there. Winter vibes are here.
Winter vibes. Like it or not, folks,
awesome. Get the winter vibes out. Winter vibes.
It is January.
Tis the season.
Dry January no longer applies to the precipitation. All right. Thank you, Brittany, very much. Good to see you.
You as well.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Bye. All right. Brittany Merlo, Civic Media meteorologist, joining us now at 7:12 as we look ahead toward the weekend, a weekend that's going to feature some Packer playoff football after beating the Bears 17-9 yesterday. The Packers finished the season 9-8. Not bad after starting the season 2-5. The Packers have now beaten the Bears 10 games in a row. And as mentioned, they head to Dallas now and play the Cowboys in the wild card round Sunday at 3:30. The college football championship is tonight in Houston, Michigan versus Washington. The Bucks lost on the road in Houston Saturday night. They are home tonight to take on the Utah Jazz, and you can hear Bucks basketball on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The 21st-ranked Badger men's basketball team beat Nebraska on Saturday. They've now won four straight and 10 of their last 11. They will be at Ohio State on Wednesday. You'll be able to hear that game across several Civic Media radio stations. And the Marquette men's basketball team, 7th-ranked in the nation, lost at Seton Hall on Saturday, dropping to 2-2 in the Big East, still 11-4 overall. They host Butler on Wednesday at the Fiserv Forum. And then finally, Badger hockey. The men's hockey team ranked 5th in the nation, working a 9-game winning streak after sweeping Notre Dame this weekend. That's their first 9-game winning streak in 34 years as they sit atop the Big Ten. And then the Badger women's hockey team is 3rd-ranked in the nation, and they swept Merrimack over the weekend as well. Selena, we had this holiday break, so we're all kind of restocking on the stories that we're working on here. But one that you're dealing with is something called hydroponics?
Yep, hydroponics.
Okay. What is hydroponics?
So hydroponics is basically growing plants without soil. So
A lot of school districts are doing it. A lot of I think we have one correctional institution in Wisconsin. I believe that started to do it. There's a fire station in Wisconsin that are using hydroponic towers or flex farms. So there's a lot of places in Wisconsin. There are 700 towers in Wisconsin schools.
But they don't have soil. So what, they're on these towers and they get watered. But how do they get other nutrients and things?
In the case of the schools, the students mix nutrients, macronutrients, and so they mix a concoction and they put it in the water. There's a base of water, and then it has like a kind of a filter system. The seed pods are placed in the towers, and then the water filters through and provides them nutrients and the water they need to grow. So that's how it works.
And so you were in Bloomer talking about this with a student and a teacher?
I was in Bloomer, and I joined the classes and the students and watched them plant the seed pods in the towers. And they do this over a course of several weeks, and they kind of do them staggering. They plant them staggering, so they grow all of the time, and they grow all throughout the year. It costs $1 per pound to grow this lettuce. They can grow, it's very affordable, 25 pounds of produce every month. So in Bloomer, the agri-science students are doing this with the agri-science teacher. So it's FFA students, and actually they use it for their school lunch program. So it saves the school district money too, because they use it in the lunch program.
And Rachel Haas is the teacher we're going to hear from?
She is. And so she can kind of explain what they do and how it's used in the lunch program.
So every week we make a harvest for the lunch program. The best part about this is that we can get it right from our hydroponic system in the morning to the lunch trays in the afternoon. So it's going directly just down the hall to the lunch program, and they prep it and put it out for lunch right away the same day.
All right. And then what do the students have to say about this?
Well, they're learning all sorts of things. One student I talked to there is going to become an ag teacher and teach the same things as she's learning there, kind of these sustainable ways and different ways of farming. A lot of these kids say, you know, I've never thought of this kind of type of farming before outside the box. And so it's got them thinking. One of the students, Tiana Peterson, she actually graduated last year. She worked with hydroponic towers 3 years at Bloomer High School, and now she is at South Dakota State University. She looked into hydroponics for college, but she kind of now coupled that with her major of architectural design. And here's Tiana.
Yeah, so I just always, I grew up in Wisconsin, so you know, everything's grown in the ground. It's corn, it's beans. But then through this, I've learned, you can grow tomatoes and lettuce and different greens through these hydroponic systems. And I never was, taught that, you know, through middle school, elementary school. And if I wouldn't have spent the time in those egg rooms, I would have never, learned about that. And just being able to see that is, eye-opening. And it was just great to be a part of something that I know is obviously going to become bigger in the future just because it is so sustainable. So I was grateful to have that opportunity.
So wonderful.
Really neat.
Yeah, sounds like a great experience all along. All right. Thanks, Selena. She'll be having that for Up North News on the website and on social media as well. We'll continue our conversation with Selena and more right after we take a pause here to tell you that wherever you're listening from across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, we're live from Lake Wissota. You're up north. We'll be back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby!
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
What did you find for us, Mr. Bach?
This is Ashes to Ashes by the birthday boy, Mr. David Bowie.
Oh, very nice. Selena Heller's with us as well. Just a reminder that you can catch a lot of what we do in our daily newsletter. The way to get that is to go to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner at the top of our homepage, and get signed up for our newsletter that way. So as Selena's getting set to work some more stories for Up North News, it's one of those things that we say a lot about exchange students and needing host families, because it's something that sometimes happens behind the scenes, but sometimes the enthusiasm for a program gets ahead of the host families. And that's something that you're helping others spread the word about, right?
Right. And there are a lot of programs, of course. So one of them is the Council for Educational Travel USA, CET USA, and they are looking for 165 host families in Wisconsin. So they'd like to place them all over the state. And we'll have some requirements. You really only need like a room for them to stay in, a bed, a study area. You don't have to provide money for them, spending money. You can provide some transportation, like for school and things like that. But really, their parents take care of money situations, insurances, medical things like that. So really minimal requirements for host families, and it really provides a great experience not only for the student but the host families too. You kind of bring culture to your just right to your doorstep with learning from all those students. Quite a neat experience.
It's a great experience. We've hosted students a couple of times, once on a 2-week thing as they were passing through, and once for an entire school year. And, you know, Natalia basically became, you know, our third daughter from having her around. We traveled to Russia for her wedding several years back. You know, now she's in her mid-30s like our daughters are. But just, you know, just an incredible experience that I too would highly encourage if you have even the slightest inkling that you might be good as a host family.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, they become your family member, just like kind of you say, you went to her wedding. It's just what a neat thing for both families involved, but 165 families in Wisconsin for the next school year. So, and there are local coordinators throughout the state. There are about 28 local coordinators. So they're looking to place in, you know, all the regions of Wisconsin.
Is there a way for people to find out more, or we're going to learn that in the story?
CET USA is the website, and they have like an application there you can fill out or find out a local coordinator.
And I'm sure we will find out more as this story gets published, and we'll be able to tease it. So how was the holidays? Emery get everything that she wanted?
Well, one thing she asked Santa for, dry erase markers. So yes, she got those. I'm like, what?
What an intelligent girl. I don't want permanent ones that, you know, would I want things that you can clean up temporarily when I, you know, when I put graffiti on the walls, you know.
We have a big board, a calendar, so we write out, so that's what she wanted.
So she's going to add to that now.
Are you going to buy her dry erase markers now every year for like the rest of, because I once told my aunt that I wanted, that I loved black olives, and she bought me for the next 6 years black olives for Christmas.
Oh gosh, I don't. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Pat, you're right. You're right. It was awful.
It sounds like it.
We're still singing "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas."
Like, oh, God bless that.
You know, times a day.
Yep. When a kid gets a song like that, they don't want to let it go.
All the words. She got a hoverboard. I didn't get it, but so Whoa. That Bluetooth, and you can play songs. So now she's just playing songs and riding that around. the house.
Okay.
In circles.
All right. Well, you know, I'm sure the insurance policy here covers orthopedics. So good luck with that.
Yeah, she's teaching me.
All right. Wait, teaching you what? Not the hoverboard. No.
Video.
No.
Video.
She holds my hands.
Oh, I don't think this is going to end well.
When I step on it, I just go, I'm like, whoa, I just swirl around and spin.
Well, let's at least get you a flaming baton or something. I mean, let's make the most of it then.
I was going to say a helmet and some pads, but okay Pat.
Yeah, we know who Captain Safety is over here now. Buzzkill. I'm over here looking for entertainment value, you know? Well, Selena, good luck with that. Thanks for making me nervous now that I'm going to have to, you know, hire another new reporter here at some point. So please don't break your neck.
I'll try not to.
All right. We'll check in with you next Monday. Thank you, ma'am. All right.
Thank you. See ya. Have a good night.
Unpacking some more of the news now at 7:25, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told WISN-TV's Up Front that the medical marijuana bill that Republicans are going to unveil today, Monday, will, quote, probably be the most restrictive version in the entire country, which seems to be on brand because Wisconsin is an island right now surrounded by states that have allowed either complete full use of marijuana, recreational, medical, what have you, or have certain restrictions on the sale. Wisconsin still restricts it to the extreme. And it's not because that's what the public wants. Public sentiment shows quite clearly that they support legalization of marijuana. But again, in a gerrymandered legislature where you're not just going to get, you know, Republicans in this case, you're going to get the most extreme measure of Republicans. They have been lax to do anything in terms of reforming marijuana legislation. And that's why Assembly Speaker Voss is bragging to say, well, you might finally drag us kicking and screaming into the 21st century, but it's still going to be the most restrictive version in the entire country. And Governor Tony Evers told reporters last week that while he hasn't seen a bill yet, he would consider signing a restricted bill, which, again, doesn't go as far as he would. He supports legalization, but he would at least sign a bill that allowed for partial legalization of marijuana. Governor Evers did several one-on-one interviews with Wisconsin media late last week, ourselves included, and we will be playing our interview with Governor Evers back here tomorrow morning at 7:05. If you tune in, we'll be playing our Q&A with Governor Tony Evers. Back to Voss on Upfront over the weekend. He also was very critical of a proposal by fellow Republicans that would abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission and give control of Wisconsin elections to others besides the Elections Commission. Voss said, quote, "This is a stupid idea. I will do everything in my power to make sure that we do not use the power that we have to give it to an elected official to make partisan mischief, which is exactly what's occurred in most states around the country. This bill should die a long, slow death. It is dumb." Which is very interesting because what he's saying the bill does is not exactly what it does. The Republicans who are sponsoring this bill are telling you, yes, we would get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We'd put elections under the Secretary of State's office. But what they're not telling you is the bill goes on to say that the Secretary of State can't do anything about elections without the approval of certain key legislative committee. In other words, it is completely removing the Wisconsin Elections Commission and handing control of elections to Republican politicians in the Wisconsin legislature. And, of course, nobody would favor that. And I think that Speaker Voss understands that most people already see through the bill, so he's already throwing cold water on it. When we come back, it will be our first Motherhood Monday of the new year. So we will talk to Kate and Aaron from Motherhood for Good about 2024 and upping your civic engagement game next on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're up north.
I'll stay clean tonight. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A new clue in Friday night's scary mishap on an Alaska Airlines plane minutes after it took off from the airport in Oregon. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
I'm excited to announce that we found the door plug. Thank you, Bob. Bob contacted us. He found it in his backyard.
Bob's a school teacher in Portland. We're just hearing about a setback for Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin almost a week after he was admitted to Walter Reed. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
He is still hospitalized, but said to be performing his duties. Congress, meanwhile, wants to know why it wasn't notified of his hospitalization for days. Top Biden administration officials were also in the dark until January 4th.
The big winner at last night's Golden Globe Awards on CBS.
Oppenheimer!
Oprah announcing the movie had won Best Drama. It snagged Best Director, Actor, Supporting Actor, and Best Score as well. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts weren't just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least, has been controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
We have some snow on the way starting late this afternoon into this evening and continuing through tomorrow into tomorrow night. About 2 to 4 inches of accumulation possible by the time it wraps up, with wind, especially tomorrow night, creating areas of blowing snow. Today, cloudy, snow developing late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food, or medication, or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All right, let's talk technology for just a second here. Because if you want to listen to this program while you're on the go, get the Civic Media app. And you can listen live on all the Civic Media radio stations where we appear, because you can choose all the different stations while you're in the app. While you're in your car, you can add that to your car audio through Bluetooth and take us along live wherever you go, or listen later as a podcast. Again, go to civicmedia.us to learn more. If you're a relatively new listener, you'll know that every other week we have a little segment here we call Motherhood Monday with our friends from Motherhood for Good, as we provide a little bit of guidance, a little advice, a little information for busy parents, for busy moms, to help you stay involved, understand what are the issues going on out there that will affect motherhood. There are no better people to do that than our friends from Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy and Aaron Phillips. Join us this go around. Happy New Year, ladies.
Happy New Year. Good morning.
Happy New Year, indeed.
Yeah. Good holiday season for both of you, I trust.
Yes. All right. Yeah, it was nice. Lots going on, but kind of happy to be past it, me personally.
Yeah, I mean, same. I overheard my husband having the discussion with our kid this morning about like how Christmas is over now. And then we'll wait again for next year's Christmas, for this year's Christmas. And it's like, yeah, that's a weird concept to explain to a 3-year-old, but
I was going to say the four-year-old grandson was asking, I guess, about a week ago or so about, you know, when do they get to get in a costume and go trick or treating again? I was like, no. So you're trying to explain the concept of the calendar. And this is a once a year thing, like a birthday. And it's, you know, it's part of the charm. So I'm glad that it went well for both of you. Now, we spoke earlier in the program with Kristen Lyerly and talked about the importance of encouraging women who are considering running for office. And so that kind of dovetails nicely into this segment about how moms, how women, how their allies, they may not necessarily be running for office, but there are other ways to increase our level of civic engagement, which is really, you know, what we're all about at Up North News and at Civic Media and at Motherhood for Good. And that is upping that civic engagement game, just doing the little things a little bit more that can really make a difference in your community. Kate, do you want to kick us off as far as, you know, things that busy parents can even start to do now to make 2024 a more involved and productive year?
Yeah, so we were talking in one of our meetings about, you know, what was going to be coming up, and obviously 2024 is going to be huge. It's a very crazy election year that's going to have a lot that comes along with it. So we're trying to like ease into the advocacy, the engagement. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. We've got until November. So, well, first of all, if you are thinking about running for office, that one is a little bit more pressing, and please do that if you are doing it. There's a great organization called Run for Something that has great resources too, or shoot us a note on DM and we can help connect you with some resources. But for those who are not considering running for office, there are so many baby steps you can start to take to like ease into the election season, because I was even feeling this myself. I'm like, ooh, I'm not like ready to dive in yet. So we were brainstorming some ideas that we could do. And first off, I feel like this is kind of the simplest thing you can do. If you're in Wisconsin, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. And actually, since it's a new year, reminder, you have to request new absentee ballots if you are planning on voting by mail. The first spring election, I believe, is April 2nd, which is going to come up really fast because the spring does that to us. So that is number one, a very easy, low-hanging fruit that you can do that will take you hopefully less than 2 minutes and get those going. We were talking a little bit earlier. I am pregnant and due in mid-April, so I definitely need to do that. I cannot imagine if I ended up going a little early and I was in the hospital and could not end up voting. I know it's spring break time for a lot of people, so go on to myvote.wi.gov and request those absentee ballots before you forget.
And we're going to beat that drum all the time because, and you know, some of us who don't get pregnant, there's other things that keep us from the polling.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't tell you how many election days where the weather was iffy, where I'd say to myself, you know, I really had to get signed up for the absentee ballots. And you can do that. Like she said, now you can go to myvote.wi.gov and it's on a calendar year basis. And so there are four main election days in 2024, and you can get signed up now for all four of them if you want to have your absentee ballot automatically mailed to you. That way you don't have to do it individually each time. And, you know, again, Aaron, that's just, there's frankly no great reason not to, because then you're guaranteed to be participating in democracy in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big better safe than sorry, you know, energy around that little action. And, you know, dovetailing off of something Kate said about like, okay, well, the April primary, like we might be around spring break. You know, we all look at our calendars for the year and sort of start, well, at least, you know, we start at the beginning of the year kind of piecing together, like, what is my year looking like? Where are our family trips? Where is the school function thing? Like, whatever the commitments are for the year. And I think that this is an opportunity as we ease into the new year to include anything about our election cycle this year, which you guys have mentioned is, you know, like beyond monumental, to include that in your family planning for your calendar year, so that, you know, you're looking ahead not only to do this very important step and easy step of securing your absentee ballot, but also just kind of being able to track for yourself now before we're in the thick of it, like where might I want to participate? Where might I want to step in and really get involved? Because it's going to be way easier to start getting involved now than when like we're inundated with ads, everybody's talking about it, it's feeling contentious, it's feeling overwhelmed. You know, if you start planning now for how you're going to involve yourself in the election year, it's not going to, you know, you're like starting to wade into the cold water now instead of trying to dive in later.
Yes. And by the way, that planning very definitely includes, again, those four key dates, which we're going to work backwards, actually, because everybody's aware of the November one, where there will be a presidential election on November 5th. But there's also elections for, you know, legislature and all kinds of other seats. And the primary for that will be on August 13th. Then, of course, there's the April spring nonpartisan elections and a presidential primary, and that will be April 2nd. But, you know, Kate, already on February 20th will be the primary election date for any of these April races. And there aren't always a ton of them, but in some cases that might be really important. Maybe you're in a school district that has, what would it be, something like, you know, seven candidates for three seats or something like that, where they've got to winnow down the ballot for April. So, you know, you need to see if that February primary is important in your hometown.
Yes, great point. And here I am talking about like April's going to come up quick, but you're right, Pat, there's something happening in February 1st, which is literally next month. And school board races are going to be really important. And that was one of the other things we had on our list. Start looking into your school board if there are seats up and who is running. And we know from experience, from talking to people, this information can be a little bit harder to track down. Like with the bigger elections and even like the state level assembly and Senate races, they usually have everything on like a website like Ballotpedia or myvote.wi.gov. One of those big ones will have kind of the main ticket races, but school board is a little bit harder to find. So give yourself a little bit of time. Typically, you can go to your district's website and just to get that base information of if there's any seats up for election. And then you might have to dig around a little bit. You might have to like be anti-millennial and talk to some of your neighbors and see what's going on. Get on the Facebook groups, see who's running. I've had some conversations definitely with neighbors and people in my community who's running, and I'm trying to figure that information out. It does take a little bit more digging for sure. So you could also attend a school board meeting and grab somebody afterwards who seems like they're really plugged into what's going on, and I'm sure they would be happy to help you. But those are really, really important elections. Even if you don't have kids in school, the school boards in your local community really, really help shape the lives for constituents there. So we really, really recommend getting involved there and getting involved early, because it can take a little bit.
And forgive me for putting more of a nefarious tone on this, but it has been quite clear that in some local elections, mostly school board, but it can happen with city council and county board and things like that, you'll have somebody, basically an extreme candidate who will actually do very little publicly to draw attention to themselves. They know that voter turnout is low in some of these spring and primary elections. And so they'll communicate basically within their base, within their mailing list, within their Facebook groups and things like that, and hope to basically surprise the rest of us with a strong voter turnout, counting on other people to, frankly, afterwards go, wow, I didn't even know that this person was running, much less that they are that extreme. And there's just nobody can do your homework for you. You always hope there's local media that will say, you know, here's a bunch of stuff. But we even have extreme candidates who don't even respond to those candidate interviews anymore. They don't talk to local media. And again, while that sounds nefarious, it just means everybody at home, you got to do your homework. Otherwise, you end up with a nasty surprise, Aaron, on your school board or city council.
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly what you just mentioned of there being this possibility, right, that we're not maybe going to be as readily able to discern what's going on with these candidates, especially, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but I think especially in school board races, which in recent years have become more high profile and more contentious, and sort of a ripe ground for political partisanship, even though they're nonpartisan races. And like you're saying, there might not be a lot of media coverage about them. Hopefully there is, but it can just be so difficult to, like, you have to read between the lines so much. And so what Kate is talking about with, like, really plugging into your community and trying to learn these sort of, like, longstanding, you know, stances of these candidates that maybe, yeah, aren't as publicly facing at the moment. It's a challenge, but it's a surmountable challenge. It really is. We just have to, like, tap in and talk to one another. You know, like, there are resources within your community. Maybe they're online. Maybe they're, you know, in person in community meetings, at the school board meetings. Like, there are so many avenues to get plugged in. And again, like ringing the same bell, tapping in now is going to be so much easier than trying to scramble and learn who these seven candidates are running for the same three seats, right? Like, right. It's going to be, and you know, a month ahead of the February is not even that much time, but certainly it's easier than 2 days before or something like that.
And pro tip, if you notice that a local school board candidate is the focus of a whole lot of advertising, which is expensive, and or is giving you one of those generic sounding group names like, you know, Moms for Liberty or Parental Rights, blah, 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 that may be a tip off that you're dealing with somebody whose views are actually a bit more extreme than the parents in their community. Last thing, Kate, is that another thing you can do to get better involved in 2024 is to sign up for an event or a meeting. You might even have one coming for you with Motherhood for Good.
Yeah, we have a really exciting event coming up next Sunday on the 14th. We're going to have a mom's town hall with Senator Tammy Baldwin. So if you go to our Instagram profile at Motherhood for Good, there's a link in the bio there if you want to sign up. We do require pre-registration for this one, and there's an area where you can pre-submit questions. So we'd be happy to have you at that. It's going to be in the kind of Waukesha County area, and we'll email the address when we have it. But whether you can come to that, if you're in the area, that would be great. It's a great way to get involved. Ask, I mean, one of our United States senators about her views on things. She's going to be talking about, you know, childcare, education, a lot of things that this community cares about. And just connecting with other people. If you still feel like you don't know as many people who are talking about these things and you want more of a community that's civically engaged, coming to events like these is a great way. You can also go, if gun reform is really important to you, you can sign up for a Moms Demand Action meeting. You could always go to your local county Dems meeting. There's so many options. So we would challenge you to just sign up for one thing and try it out if you never have, because you'll never know what it might lead to.
Exactly. And one last thing I'll put in a pitch for that I've done before is if you find out that a friend or a neighbor is running for office and you know, greatly support what they're doing, they'll really appreciate your help. It might be licking envelopes. It might be knocking on doors. It might be making phone calls. But it's going to be so necessary for everybody to not stay on the sidelines this year. Kate Duffy, Aaron Phillips, Motherhood for Good. Look forward to Motherhood for Good on Instagram. Great to see you as always. Have a wonderful start to the week.
You too.
All right. Thanks, bye. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. Back in just a bit. You're up north.
They sell Tennessee ham and strawberry jam, and they This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. Oh! That is so gross! What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air's not fresh anymore. Well, before Old Frosty gets renamed Old Stinky for fouling up the neighborhood, you better call Crockett Septic. From Rome to Rudolph, Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point Clover, Crockett Septic can handle your septic, holding tank, and porta-potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie, because nobody wants to smell the other stuff.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
A reminder that tomorrow at 7:05, we'll have our interview with Governor Tony Evers, who's been talking to reporters, kind of an end of the year, start of the year media tour that he's doing. And so we'll hear our interview with Governor Evers coming up tomorrow at 7:05. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Pat.
How was your holiday season?
Very nice, very restful, very low key, which is just the way I like it. So it was a great way to end the old year and start the new one.
All right. And as we look ahead, we've got a kind of, how do I put this? I keep saying, you know, reload, reacquaint ourselves for those of us who unplugged during the holidays to what's happening news-wise. And some things are ongoing. The presidential campaign, of course, is one of them. But then there are some things that are relatively new. And we just hinted at one of these earlier in the hour that Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature are going to introduce a bill with what I would label as rather slight legalization of marijuana compared to what you're seeing in other states. What's the details on this new Republican proposal?
Well, the details that we know is that, as you mentioned, it probably promises to be one of the most limited legalized marijuana bills in the country. This would be strictly medical marijuana. Even then, it would restrict what forms it would be available in and who it would be available to. Speaker Robin Voss has been adamant that he does not want this to be the start of legalizing recreational marijuana. But even in this very limited form, it is definitely a marked step. Republicans have been absolutely opposed to any, at least leadership has been opposed to any marijuana bill. So even this limited bill represents a bit of a movement, a shift in receptiveness to this idea.
Well, it's one thing to introduce it. It's another thing entirely, because, you know, bills have been introduced in the past. It's just a matter of, again, are you introducing it to show that you might be able to make some progress, or are you looking actually at making progress? And so introducing it's one thing, but I mean, that's the one thing you and your team will be doing, is seeing if this thing gets a hearing. How does the hearing work? Does it get scheduled for a floor vote? And more than a couple of bills have passed the assembly, but then the Senate never takes it up, or it passes the Senate and then the assembly never takes it up. So even this limited bill is by no means a slam dunk, right?
We'll see what happens. And of course, you know, there is a lot of disagreement even among the Republican caucus as to how far this should go. I think we're seeing more people speaking up. I think this is why this is budging at least this far, is because people seem to be demanding this to the point where it really, you know, if nothing else, even just giving this issue some lip service is an acknowledgement that there is a growing call for some kind of marijuana reform.
All right. There's another topic that comes up frequently. I have opined about it quite often. My frustration with the fact that there has not been any kind of bipartisan immigration reform since Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill hammered something out in 1986. Ever since then, this issue has been a political football. And while it often it makes a lot of noise at the border with Mexico. The fact of the matter is these are issues that are very pertinent to Wisconsin as well that call out for solutions, but at least there's going to be a lot of talk about immigration and border crossings here in Wisconsin as the next session of the legislature comes into action.
Well, you're right. So Republicans are making an issue of immigration again, and there was an uptick in activity at the border late last year. That seems to have leveled off now. And but also, as you point out, it's been generations since there's been real any kind of legislation that has been passed, including by the very people who are calling for it now. They've had a lot of opportunity to do it up to this point. So far, that has not happened, but it's been moved up to the front burner again, even though Congress has, you know, there's a shutdown looming. And there are those who think that the lawmakers should be in Washington negotiating something to keep the government from shutting down rather than to make an issue out of this.
Yeah. And part of the reason it also is becoming more of a Wisconsin-based discussion topic is that folks like Texas Governor Greg Abbott and others are moving migrants, again, in my opinion, human trafficking, but they are moving migrants to other places, including now, you know, parts of northern Illinois.
That's right, Rockford in particular. So, yes, it has become an issue for Wisconsin, and that's why you're hearing more about it up here in particular.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we're in January now. We're in that time of year where people are home a little bit more often and maybe don't take care of some of the things they do in the warmer weather months, amongst them donating blood, which is always so badly needed, especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm. The American Red Cross has named January Blood Donation Month, has been the case for a long time. But yeah, you're right. For some reason or another, people donate less blood in January, even though the need never goes away. This seems to be a slow time of year for donations. So the American Red Cross is getting the word out that they really do need the donations, and they're putting out special events and other concerted efforts to try to remind people and encourage them that the gifts of blood are as necessary now as they are any time of year. People with cancer, people who have been in traumatic crashes, people with ongoing conditions who need blood transfusions. This is so very important for them.
So we get to this point of the year, and you know, we often talk to you about the Badger women's volleyball team, and you know, they had a good run, but now that season's done. So what do you tend to follow over the winter months?
Well, the Packer game obviously was a big deal. College sports being what it is now, there seems to always be some transfer portal news, and in fact, the Badger volleyball team just picked up a important position, a setter from the University of Montana in the transfer portal. We didn't have a setter. That's like a basketball team being without a point guard or a football team being without a quarterback for time. So at least we're up to full strength now. And a couple of really exciting incoming freshmen had a great game at the Under Armour Next game last week. It's kind of like the high school all-star game of volleyball, and our incoming setter Charlie Ferberger and Ferbringer, that is, and Lola Schumacher, our incoming defensive player. They both were standouts in that game, so that's very exciting that they're coming to Wisconsin.
How do you like that? There's a hot stove league for women's college volleyball. Terry Bell's on top of it all, news director at Civic Media. Thank you, Terry. Have a great start to the week.
Yep.
All right, Greg, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow before you get to take yourself a very well-deserved break. Thanks to all of you. For joining us, a reminder that Up North News is the digital outlet for Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media, but happy to be here. You can keep up with us. Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, our interview with Governor Tony Evers tomorrow at 7:05. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief.